Now that we've gotten the standard electrochemical cell out of the way, and we've talked about redox reactions, let's talk about how we can predict what kind of cell is going to be spontaneous. In other words, whether we can form an electrochemical cell from a particular system. And then we need to talk about what happens when we make these cells at non-standard concentrations, which means we need to come back one more time to what is the standard state. So let's suppose that I have these four things. Copper, zinc, copper 2 nitrate, and then zinc 2 nitrate. Suppose we wanted to make some kind of battery system out of this, where we would take the copper nitrate, the zinc, and the zinc nitrate. Or, in fact, before we get to that, let's do the direct reactions in solution, because this really gets at whether the reaction is going to be spontaneous or not. Let's say that we put copper metal into the zinc nitrate. Let's say we put zinc into the copper nitrate. This wouldn't be an electrochemical cell. It would be a direct reaction, but it still gets at the point of this standard reduction potential table that's in your text. And I'll move this out of the way in just a moment. But hopefully you have read over this. And we have discussed this a bit, that these are the voltages you would get for half-cell reactions for if you're doing reduction. And I think we had already discussed how fluorine is at the top of that chart because it's the most electronegative element on the periodic table, so it loves to gain electrons, so it's really, really favorable for it to be reduced. Lithium, since it's in the first column of the periodic table, does not like to be reduced. It would prefer to be oxidized. And so that's why it's got a negative voltage. Well, how do we use this table to answer this question of what's going to happen here? Because what would happen in this first case? What would copper do if this reaction was successful? It would get oxidized, that's right. And so what's going to happen to the zinc? So we'll get copper 2 nitrate plus zinc metal. If I took that reaction and broke it out into half reactions, then we have copper turning into copper 2 plus, giving off 2 electrons, and we have zinc 2 plus gaining 2 electrons to become zinc solid. If I look at that table, the reduction potential for copper 2 plus is positive 0.34 volts. But copper is getting oxidized here, not reduced, correct? So what do we do to the voltage? We flip the sign. In other words, if this is a positive voltage to go to reduction, then if you're going in the opposite reaction, then it's the opposite voltage. So in other words, the half cell potential here is going to be negative 0.34 volts. Now let's look up zinc's potential. Zinc's potential is negative 0.76 volts. And this time I don't flip the sign around because it's already written as reduction. Yes?
Why is it for zinc that we only have one
electron? Oh, that's because I forgot the two. So here, if we just add the voltages together, we get that the total voltage of the cell is going to be negative 1.10 volts. Remember that positive voltage is spontaneous, it's favorable. Negative voltage is unfavorable, and so that means that this particular reaction is not going to occur. So that means that the reaction that is going to occur is to put zinc metal into the copper nitrate. And so if we were going to construct a cell, then it would be zinc that we would use as one of the electrodes, since it would prefer to be oxidized, and then we're going to end up depositing copper on the other electrode. Now, let's talk about this example a little bit further, because let's go ahead and deal with the standard state. Someone remind me what the standard state is again. It's this one molar concentration part. Let me read this out for the recording. 25 degrees Celsius, 298 Kelvin, one bar pressure, one molar concentration. That's key, and this is something that I guess I had struggled with my own self in the past, but somehow this year in reviewing it is making a bit more sense. The fact that you all have learned this equation, delta G is equal to negative RT ln of K, correct? But that means that you presume that you have a reaction that starts in the standard state. What I'm trying to get at is this. Did we talk about reaction progress diagrams this quarter at all? Have you all ever heard of something called a reaction progress diagram? We probably have brought it up when we were talking about equilibrium, right? That we talk about the average energy of the solution as we go from 100% reactants to 100% products. Let's say that we have this cell where we're going to take zinc, put it into the copper nitrate, do the reaction that's spontaneous. What that will mean is that the reactants are higher in energy than products. And so if we went from 100% reactants to 100% products, there is some lowest point on that diagram, which corresponds to the equilibrium constant. What does the standard state have to do with this? That means we're going to pick some point on that diagram where we have one molar concentrations of everything involved. And I'm focusing on concentrations because we're not talking about systems of gases in this case. The electrodes themselves, the solids, since it's a solid, not part of the solution, it's not calculated the concentration. It's not included as part of the equilibrium expression. So the only thing that we're going to be able to change in an electrochemical cell that's going to affect the voltage is going to be concentration. So what if we started out with a concentration of a reactant that was higher than one molar? Well, that means that we're going to be moving uphill on this diagram in terms of energy. Well, energy, as we'll see in just a moment, is related to voltage. So by increasing the concentration of a reactant, making the reaction wanting to go more forward by Le Chatelier's principle, that means that there's more energy involved, and that changes the voltage in the positive direction. What if we start out the reaction with more products than one molar? If we had an excess that direction, well, that means that we're already further along towards equilibrium, which means you're going to end up with a smaller voltage. How can we quantify this? Well, there's a little expression that you learned last quarter. Which lets you get the true energy available. Depending on the actual starting concentrations. Compared to the standard state. which means the energy that would be available if everything was at the standard state. To highlight a little bit how this equation works, how much energy is available when we're at equilibrium? We did do the three definitions of equilibrium in here at some point, right? I don't think I ever... Did I put that into a question? No, but I kind of waved it around because I wanted to do a little bit of review, knowing that we were going to get here. So remind me, what are those three definitions of equilibrium? Right, so that you have two processes that are balanced with each other. What is that going to mean for the concentration of reactants and products? They're constant. They're not the. I know what you meant. They're not the same as each other. They stay the same. So because if the rates are equal, that means you're making products as quickly as you're making reactants. So it's like nothing changes. So what does that mean for the energy of the system? There's no change in energy because you're at this lowest point, which means the actual energy available, delta G, without the degree symbol, because this is not the standard state. This is at equilibrium, at whatever those equilibrium concentrations are going to be. And what that will turn out to mean is that there's no voltage. So there is a brief section in your text that talks about if Q is less than K, then here's what the voltage is. If Q is greater than K, then here's what the voltage is. And we're going to build that up in this diagram. But right now I'm just trying to remind us what the point of this expression is here, that we can take the standard state energy and then adjust that for what our true concentrations are, and from that get the energy available. Now the neat trick is that if you are talking about equilibrium concentrations, then, as I had shown on the graph over here, that means there's no energy available. You're at the lowest energy point. Yes? Oh, thank you. It is delta G. Oh, I see what you're saying. So remember that we can't actually define zero for delta G. Delta G is kind of like internal energy. You can't directly measure it. And what delta G means for this reaction is going from the highest point of the reaction to the lowest point energetically. Well, this is the lowest point when you're at equilibrium. So that's why delta G is equal to zero, because you're going from here to there, to nowhere. So then that's why I purposely didn't put anything on the y-axis. It's just trying to represent that that's energy in the form of delta G, meaning potential energy. And so there is no potential energy when you're at equilibrium. So maybe if you think it conceptually, that makes it easier. If you look at the pen on my hand, yeah, it's got potential energy if I took my hand away, but the hand is the lowest that it can go. So relative to my hand, it's got zero potential energy. Same type of thing at the lowest point of this graph. So if you're at equilibrium and you have no potential energy, then we can plug into this expression K, because Q is equal to K at equilibrium. Rearrange that expression, put the RT ln of K on the other side, and you get negative RT ln K is equal to delta G naught. Same expression that I started out with up here. So what's the point of this? Well, there's one other expression, which we got in a previous lecture, which is that free energy is proportional to voltage. And notice that there's a negative sign there, because the convention is that positive voltage is spontaneous, that electrons will want to go to positive voltage. And then for delta G, negative delta G by convention means a release of energy, which again means it's spontaneous. So more positive here, more free energy release here. Well, what if we rewrite this delta G expression up top? That the energy proportional to the true voltage is equal to the energy of the standard voltage plus a fudge factor, RT ln of Q. This we rewrite. And we end up with the true voltage is equal to the standard cell voltage minus RT over NF natural log of Q. F is a conversion factor between coulombs and farads. So one of these units of charge is in terms of moles of electrons. One of them is more directly related to volts. So to convert the two, that's what that F factor is, because we have moles of electrons in this expression. It's just a numerical constant, that's right. 95,000 or something like that. It's not a constant, obviously, I'm going to make you memorize if I don't remember the number myself, but 9.65 × 10⁴. Yes. So that was right, 90-something thousand. Yes?
In terms of like an idea, like standard state is kind of like STP for gases.
Standard state is the equivalent for thermodynamic systems as STP is for gases, yes. In other words, you have some standard set of conditions. And what ends up happening is that if you put in the standard state for Q, here's another, it's kind of simple math, but still might bring the point home for some of you. What will Q be no matter what the reaction is at the standard state? What will Q be? No matter what the reaction is, no matter how many reactants or products, no matter how complex the reaction is, what will Q always be at the standard state? Why? Okay, so let's just take a reaction. In fact, because...
If there's no like change in energy, then ln e to the 0 is 1.
What Omar is realizing is that if Q is equal to 1, that log expression is equal to 0, and then delta G becomes delta G naught, which is what exactly you would have if you were at the standard state, and that's the whole point of what delta G naught is. But why does Q end up always being 1? Let's take an example from the redox reaction. Let me start with a fresh page here. And let me kind of bring this back to some context as well. We started out saying here are these different reagents that we could put together in theory to make an electrochemical cell. I then right away said, well, let's do the reaction directly instead. The reason I did that is because you use the reduction potentials to figure out which way the reaction's going to occur, meaning we could set the cell up. But to predict which way electron flow is going to go is the same question as here, which metal is going to react with which solution. So we figured out that the zinc metal is going to react with the copper. And then I started talking about, well, what happens if we deal with concentrations? And so that's this next whole part here where I'm showing that if you change concentrations, if you change your reaction quotient, it's going to have an effect on voltage. Now, let me put the two together by showing you an example using that zinc-copper system. And maybe for the visual in people in here, we should go ahead and draw one more time a standard cell. In fact, I'll draw a picture that's a little bit more like what your textbook tends to have. Because I drew a cell in which we had a connection between the two bottom parts of the containers. But the versions you have been seeing look something like this. So in all the drawings I've done in the past, I've tended to put the anode on the left-hand side. So what occurs at the anode? Oxidation. And based on what we talked about up here before, what's going to get oxidized? Well, remember when I showed copper getting oxidized, that's what ended up with the negative voltage. And so that's why I said this is the reaction that has to occur. And let me rewrite that reaction out in full, make it easier to figure out. Zinc plus copper nitrate will make copper plus zinc nitrate. Zinc starts out oxidation state 0, ends up plus 2. Copper starts out plus 2, ends up 0. Zinc, therefore, is oxidized, and therefore zinc is going to end up being the anode. Copper will accumulate on the cathode. We do have the salt bridge in the middle here. And then we'll have zinc nitrate solution surrounding the zinc. And then copper nitrate surrounding the copper. The half reaction that's going to happen on the left will therefore be zinc reacting to release 2 electrons. And the reaction that will happen on the right is copper ion reacting with 2 electrons to make copper metal. If I want to finish labeling everything, anode's going to be negative because that's where oxidation is occurring, so that's where electrons are pumped into the system, and then reduction's happening at the cathode, which means it's positive because it's consuming those electrons. And so I can put here reduction and oxidation. I know we've already drawn this cell a couple of times now, but did anybody have any questions about constructing the cell? Yes?
So, when you say there's zinc nitrate in there, they're really just separated zinc and nitrate ions, right?
That's right. Yes. So, correct. They're aqueous solutions.
And then, when the electrons go to the copper
converts
from the solution
because it's getting reduced. And if the electrons are coming from that source and copper is flowing towards those electrons, then it tends to occur that the copper just plates where the electron source is, meaning on the cathode.
How come the copper never, like, turns into
Again, most likely because of the charges flowing to where the electrons are. So if the electrons are on the surface of that metal, the ions are going to be attracted to that surface. You'd have to have conduction through the solution for those electrons to cause the metal to be reduced somewhere else. But you did remind me to put my electron flow. Now, this the negative is where the electrons are coming from. Right now, we are going to see an electrolytic cell, if I don't run out of time, where we're going to flip everything around backwards. And that, to be honest, always used to be confusing to me. You flip which thing you call positive and negative. Yes?
Does it matter what salt we use for the salt bridge?
I don't know that much about salt bridges, but presumably something is always used that won't end up being oxidized or reduced itself. So I think ammonium nitrate is very frequently used for that purpose. Okay, now let me refer back to the textbook because I think it uses exactly this electrochemical cell. Yes, it does. As an example for showing the effect of concentration. So what would be the equilibrium constant for this process? What would its form look like? Because remember, an equilibrium constant is products over reactants, correct? So what's a product in this case? The zinc ion. Nitrate's just a spectator, so it would not end up being used in the equilibrium constant here. So we have zinc as the product, and then what would be the reactant?
Copper.
What would be Q at the standard state? 1, because you'd have 1, the standard concentration of zinc, divided by 1, the standard concentration of copper. It's always 1. This is the question I was asking earlier, if I could bounce around just a little bit here. At the standard state, since every concentration is 1, no matter how complex the equilibrium expression is, you're substituting 1 into everything into that expression. So you're going to end up with 1 times 1 cubed times 1 squared divided by 1 times 1 times 1, I mean, just different forms of 1, which means Q is going to be 1. So if Q at the standard state is always equal to 1, then delta G is equal to delta G naught plus RT ln of 1. That turns into 0. And so that's why delta G is equal to delta G naught at the standard state. So coming back to the problem, let's say that we had a solution . This is kind of an extreme example, but it says, start out with the zinc concentration being as if we've barely begun the reaction. So in other words, 1.0 times 10 negative 4th molar. Suppose we have it loaded with copper then, where it's 2 molar. Is the voltage going to be higher or lower than the standard cell potential? Let's recreate that diagram I was drawing earlier and annotate it a bit. So we have zinc ions turning into copper ions. We could pretend we're going from 100% zinc in solution to just 100% copper in solution. Lowest point on that diagram, that's K. And that's where the cell voltage is equal to 0. Then I said that imagine we have the standard state, which because this reaction is spontaneous, the standard state is going to end up being higher in energy because we got a standard state voltage that's positive. And so here, this would be Q naught, standard state. And that means that the voltage is equal to the standard cell voltage. Now, in this case, Q is going to be equal to 1.0 times 10 negative 4th divided by 2. Which is equal to 5.0 times 10 negative 5th. So Q is much less than 1. What does that mean? It means that we have more reactants than we're supposed to at the standard state. We could see that because this is products over reactants. In the standard state, everything's 1. Here we got a little number over a big number. Now, what is Le Chatelier's principle?
Whatever is
You actually are saying exactly the right thing.
Really?
Yes, no. If you add something to one side, you end up pushing things over to the other. You're trying to say it that way. In other words, that if you add reactants, if you suddenly add reactants, what does that mean for the forward rate of reaction? Goes up, right? But you haven't added any products, correct? In fact, in this case, you've taken away products compared to the standard state. So what is that going to mean for the reverse reaction? Goes down. So if you had equilibrium, where you had a balance, and now you're pushing more reactants to react, and you've taken away products, well, of course, the reaction is going to go forward. So you added reactants, you end up making more products. Why? Because Q is less than 1. If Q is greater than 1, that means you're past the standard state. You're further along in the reaction. You're getting closer and closer to equilibrium. So at this point where Q is greater than 1, your actual voltage is going to be less than the standard cell voltage, but it's still going to be greater than 0. If you have a Q less than 1, because you have extra reactants, you're closer to 100% reactants. You're pushing things further up the hill, which means there's further down for it to roll, which is why the true energy will be greater than the standard cell voltage. We could calculate that, but let me fill it in a little bit here what I was saying about why this all occurs. If a reaction begins with a greater concentration of reactants, then products compared to the standard state, the rate of the forward reaction will be greater than the standard state. And the rate of reverse reaction will be smaller. This means there's a greater drive to form products, which is related to the fact that the reaction begins at higher energy than the standard state. Which for an electrochemical cell means that it will have higher voltage. And how could we calculate this? Well, there's a simplification that's made where if you presume that you're talking about solutions at room temperature, so you're changing concentration, but you're not changing temperature, then if you stick in the value of T for that RT expression, and if you put in F, that Faraday constant adjustment factor, that you can combine all that and simplify the expression to E standard minus 0.0592 divided by N times the natural log of Q. How many electrons are transferred in this process?
Two.
And then Q in this case was 5.0 times 10 to the negative 5. The standard cell potential, let's do that one more time. Sorry to block this, but let me show this table once more. We look and see that zinc being reduced has a negative voltage. That's why we decided that zinc's going to get oxidized instead, because if we flip that around and make it get oxidized, then that has a positive voltage. Copper being reduced already had a positive voltage, and copper is going to be reduced in the favorable cell. So we have two different positive voltages that we're then going to add together. So 0.34 and then 0.76 equals 1.10. The answer turns out to be 1.23 volts. Higher than the 1.1 volts, but that's exactly what I said should happen if we have more reactants compared to products compared to the standard state. Yes?
Isn't zinc ion is the product and copper ion is the
copper ion is the reactant. Did I just say it backwards?
In the diagram.
Oh, so sorry. Thank you. Yes, because the equilibrium constant is products over reactants. Thank you for that. Any question about the concept part of it? Why changing concentration changes voltage, or the calculation part of it? Yeah. So that's an interesting one, and that's something I had never thought of until this year. That automatically, because this cell happens to be spontaneous, well, it's spontaneous at those standard conditions because the cell voltages are measured at exactly those standard cell conditions. So because we added up and got a voltage that was greater than one or greater than zero, we knew it had to be on the left-hand side of equilibrium. Did everybody catch what the question was? How did we know that this was going to be where I put it on this curve? And it's because the voltages themselves that we use to come up with which way the reaction is going to go were based on standard state conditions. And so we got a positive voltage, which means it has to be above equilibrium. And above equilibrium where the reaction is going to go forward. Because we could be above equilibrium in energy, but if we're over here in products, well, that means the reaction wants to go backwards as written, and that would be a negative voltage. Oh, and I didn't even put that on the diagram. That if we have Q greater than K, then the voltage is negative. Now we have, oh, yes. No, if we were trying to force a reaction to occur, which that's where we're just about to go, to electrolytic cells. If we force a reaction to occur, it's because we're going to be adding electrons to it. And in that case, it could be that your starting concentrations gives you that kind of cell where you're going to have to add energy into it. So then you would get a negative voltage, and you know that your Q would be over here on this side of the diagram. So let's see an electrolytic cell just really quickly. And actually, we can take the same zinc-copper system. And let me do the drawing the way I had previously because it's a little easier to draw. So zinc on the left, copper on the right, zinc nitrate on the left, copper nitrate on the right. What if we were to put in a power source? And let's say that we had a power source that was hooked up so that it was pushing electrons towards the zinc. And that it was therefore pulling electrons from the copper. This is exactly backwards from the way the reaction is supposed to work. But let's say this voltage is negative 2 volts. Well, in the standard cell, we normally get a voltage of 1.10 volts. So that means that this external source has got a potential to it that's high enough to not just balance out, but counteract and push backwards the reaction that normally would want to occur in solution. It's going to cause electron flow to go reverse of normal. And so what's that going to mean that happens? We're going to have copper solid react with the zinc nitrate. Depositing zinc, because now zinc in solution is going to plate on that electrode. Copper will go into solution. Its standard cell voltage is negative, but because, or when, an external power source with a voltage greater than the cell potential . If that source is applied against the normal electron flow for the cell, the cell can be forced into the reverse reaction, which is electrolytic cell. Lytic, same root as L-Y-S, which comes from a word meaning to cut. So electrolytic means we're cutting something apart using electricity, or that's kind of the implication. One example that we don't quite have time to do today is that we could have a solution of some particular metal, maybe a solution of gold nitrate, for example, and we can force gold out of solution, which, of course, that's a valuable commodity, but there's many useful metals that can be plated out of solution in the same way. So that's one example that we'll talk about. As far as terminology, remember that before, when we had the spontaneous cell, zinc was negative charged. It's still going to be considered the negative terminal because electrons are being forced onto it. So they're coming from the external power source now, but they're going to be, it's still going to be labeled negative here. And on the other side here, because electrons are now being pulled out of the system, this is effectively the positive end. But before, this left-hand electrode was where oxidation was occurring. But now, since we're pumping electrons into it, this is where reduction's going to occur, which means now this is the cathode. So it was the anode when it was a spontaneous reaction. It's the cathode now. Again, when it was the spontaneous reaction, electrons were being generated from the zinc because it was getting oxidized. That's why it was negative charge, but that's why it was called the anode. Now it's still negative charge because something else is providing it, but reduction's occurring, so it's the cathode. That means on the other side here, where copper is, that is where oxidation occurs, and it's because it is now the anode. So what we'll do on Friday is the lab quiz. That means what little bit we have left on electrochemistry we're going to cover on Monday. That does mean Monday's lecture is going to be on the exam. And so you do need to read through the rest of this chapter, if you've not done so, to be ready in case you have questions that day.